Behold, an army shall come.
A fire burneth before them, and behind them is a flame that burneth. The land before them is as the garden of Eden, and behind them a great wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so they shall run. Join firmly Lazarus, he takes you on a journey into God's own word. It's building time, building time.
Praise God. Alright, let's check the scripture. We're looking at the subject, how God prepares his men. How God prepares his men. Check the scripture quickly. Isaiah chapter number 11, from verse 1 to 4. Isaiah chapter number 11, from verse 1 to 4. And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither will he reprove after the hearing of his ears. Verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the head, and shall smite the head with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. But if you look at verse 2, it is a scripture you are more likely going to overlook the most important message here. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And the Spirit of who? The Lord shall what? Rest upon him. If you look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians 3, quickly, from verse 17. The Bible says that where now the Lord is, that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Right? The Bible did not say where the Spirit of God is, because David said that even if I climb to the mountains, the Spirit of God is there. Even if I pitch my tent in the bottom of hell, the Spirit of God is there. The difference between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord, it is the same Spirit. But the Spirit of the Lord is a dimension of the Spirit of the Lord. Once there is a man that is a subject that the Lord can lord over. Until there is a man that God can lord over, the Spirit of God doesn't take the dimension of the Spirit of the Lord. But you see, if we are going to raise an army that will command four dead men in the valley, you know, that's the picture we got in Ezekiel 37. If we're going to speak after the order of the Lord for men who are dead, that's the picture of revival, to come back to life, it has to be a man that the Spirit of the Lord is upon. That is a man that God himself can lord himself over. When Jesus was in the boat after the preaching in the book of Mark chapter number 4, and the Bible says that they were crossing to the other side, the Bible says that a great wind troubled them on the boat, but Jesus was asleep. As long as he's not in command, he stays off. There will be great revival once God has found men to lord over. Look at Ezekiel 37, quickly. Ezekiel 37. We'll start the reading from verse 1. Very powerful scripture. Now look at it from here. Ezekiel 37 from verse 1. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of who? The Lord. And set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many, and there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Listen to this. Until you encounter the dimension of the Spirit of the Lord through your submission, you will know the fancy things of the Spirit, but you cannot know the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit comes once there is a man that God can lord over. You see, God is not your boy, he's a king. He is the king that is above all kings. You see, you will not penetrate into greater dimensions of his operation until you have become a man that God can lord over. When you become a man that God can lord over, you begin to speak like Paul. Look at the way Paul spoke in the book of Ephesians chapter number 4 from verse 1. Once there is a man that God can lord over, Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, I therefore, the prisoner, the other word there is the word the servant of the Lord. So when, look up, there is a need for a revival in the land, the people will cry. It is the cry of the people that calls for revival. God said in the, you know, in the book of Exodus chapter number 3, that the crying of the children of Israel has come to his ears. So when a people cry, what God does is that God checks in the land, can I find a man that I can lord over? So an anointed man of God that God is lording over is the response of God to the cry of a people. You see, the response of God to the cry of a people is not just a pastor. The response of God to the cry of the people is not just an apostle. The response of God to the cry of the people is not just a teacher, but a man that God can lord over. So the most sacred office you can occupy in God is being the servant of God. Somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Now, being a servant of God is not in conflict with your sonship. Now, being a servant of God talks about you've come to a point where you have journeyed beyond kingdom rights and privileges. You have entered into kingdom responsibilities. And that's why Paul was speaking to Timothy that, you see, Timothy, be strong as a good soldier of the Lord. And, you know, he was encouraging him not to be entangled again with civilian affairs. You hear what I'm saying now? Now, that was the word of a man who understands submission. It's a kingdom principle. You see, you will not taste power as long as the Holy Ghost can give you a vibe to go and pray and you have something within you that can resist it. It shows that he's not the Lord. There will be no liberty for the people. You see, you love God to the degree that you let him lord over you. And until God finds a man that he can lord over, the people will yet be in bondage. Now, so Jesus was that man, because Jesus was speaking also as touching that scripture we read in the book of, you know, that scripture, that prophecy of Isaiah chapter number 11 verse 3. Now, Jesus was recanting and recording that prophecy in the book of Luke chapter number 4. Luke 4 verse 18, Jesus was speaking there. Now, look at what he said. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord cannot be upon you if it cannot lord over you. So the dimension of the Spirit of the Lord is there to lord over men. It is because there is an agenda that must be bettered. Your disturbances, your emotions, your human lack of faith, your restlessness cannot allow for alignment for the agenda of God to be bettered accurately. And that was why when God needed to give Adam a wife, the dimension that God took was that he made him sleep. That sleeping posture was what bettered rest for a man that God created. You will not enter into rest in ministry and life until the Lord has come and has caused you to sleep. Now, you will not sleep in terms of being unrevived. You are sleeping in terms of your restlessness, your faithlessness, your ability to doubt God's plan and walk out of the counsel. Because God has definite agenda that must come. So he has to be the Lord. So it is a congregation of dead men. God cannot be Lord until he has killed you. What Adam entered into in Genesis chapter number 3, Genesis 2, was a form of death. It caused him to sleep. So much so that when a bone was taken out, he didn't know. In medicine, we call it anesthesia. At least he caused him to temporarily die. You get what I'm saying now? He died to himself, then God brought something out. So the dimension of the Spirit of the Lord comes upon dead men. Dead men don't resist the move of God. Dead men don't walk out of alignment. When a man is dead, he's dead. Somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Very important. Alright, so in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, this was Jesus here, the one who had learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Now saying that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. If you look at the scripture, pause it for a while. Look at the book of that same Luke chapter number 3. Because I do not want you to conflict the coming of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of the Lord. They are different things. Now look at Luke chapter number 3. All right, this was when Jesus was let's look at Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew 3. I want to show you something very important there. Matthew chapter number 3. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, good. So we can look at it from verse 14. When Jesus was about to be baptized, but John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, for and thou comest unto me." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Suffer it to be so for now, for first it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heaven was opened, and saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, not the Spirit of the Lord. He saw what? The Spirit of God descending like a dove. Let's look at another twist in the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter number 2. Acts 2, chapter number 2. It is not all Christians that have the Holy Ghost that have the dimension of the Spirit of the Lord. Until you become a subject, you don't enter into that dimension. Acts of Apostles, chapter number 2. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Good. Now from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled the house where they are sitting. And there appeared unto him cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with what? The Holy Ghost. You cannot be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. It comes upon you. It is a dimension upon. Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
It is a what? Dimension upon. You see, the Spirit within is for personal consumption. That's what helps you to understand, to assimilate, to relate with the Holy Ghost, to have good relationship with God. The Spirit without is what Jesus described as river of living water. The Spirit within was described as well of living water. You cannot give out well to nations. You can only give out rivers to nations. Until you submit yourself, your well will not become rivers. Do you get what I'm saying now? And that's why you notice that sometimes you may do something that bless a small congregation of people. But the moment you attempt to step out, there is a greater level of resistance that you have not entered into. You will resist the pillars of cloud of darkness in the earth realm through the word of God in your mouth to the degree that God has subdued you and the Spirit is lording over you. You all by yourself, you are not powerful until the Holy Ghost comes.
Yes, sir.
Somebody gets what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Now look at it. Go back to that same book of Isaiah chapter number 11. We are looking at how God prepares his men. God is not and will never be in a hurry when it comes to the preparation of men. God is not and he will never be in a hurry when it comes to what? Preparation of men. Alright, look at it again. Isaiah chapter number 11, we'll start the reading from verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 11, start the reading from verse 1 to 3. "And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and branch shall grow out of his root, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." The Spirit of who? The Lord. So when God wants to prepare his men, he teaches his men to be subdued, to allow his dimension. You see, what we call alignment, is not something you can enter into a life. In any situation, you enter into alignment with God on that situation when you surrender your will for His will. You see, the Bible says that the ways of the Lord are past finding out. His thoughts are beyond comprehension. Do you get what I'm saying here? Let me give you an instance. Let's assume you were suddenly praying in a room, and all of a sudden the Lord opened your eyes and showed you that there is an angel standing right beside you. And you saw the angel standing beside you, standing in full radiance of the glory of the Lord. If you are not dead to your tongue, you may go forth and begin to say the things that are not. Because it takes a man that God can show a vision to and say, seal it up. That's the kind of man that will be receiving different dynamics of vision. Because some things had come, but they will not bless the head at that time. So it takes a man that God can birth an agenda through him, and then the agenda will be released to the earth realm at the time that God, in His infinite wisdom, thinks it true and good for the earth to experience it. Men who are not tamed will destroy the agenda they are betting. That is, they will commit self-abortion of glory. Because sometimes what you are talking about is what will still do the body of Christ good, but you are faster than your shadows. So it takes a man that God, not just a man. You see, what we do is that we prepare ourselves as men that we receive. But we don't understand that the reception is simple compared to the dispensing. Because in the dispensing, words must be minced. Do you know that many moves in the body of Christ have been thwarted because those who were to convey it entered into exaggeration? Because the Holy Ghost had not tamed their mouth through exaggeration. The devil came and saw loopholes and faltered the old move, and the moves became monuments. So to bet moves accurately, it must be a man that can speak only when the Lord is saying speak, and this is how far you should speak. This was why when God told Moses to speak to the rock and he struck the rock, it was not a small matter. Because matters of alignment in terms of counsel, God is a perfectionist, is a perfect God. You must enter into it the way you should enter into it, the measurement, the timing. In Ecclesiastes number 3 verse 11, the Bible says that He makes everything beautiful in their time and season, both in the chronos and the kairos. Things become beautiful, meaning that when God shows you something, you must have entered into a point of personal discipline with God, such that until it is time to be bettered, it is not bettered. Is somebody get what I'm saying here? Because you might receive something. What you have received is true, but you are not a true witness. Because a true witness is not going to speak ahead of the Lord until the Lord says speak. You do not speak. So the dimension of the Spirit of the Lord comes to the degree that a man is broken. You see, brokenness is what gives us access into death. Brokenness is what brings you away from your self-beauty, such that you have no energy with which you can override the Lord again. And then you have done it several times, and you have learned obedience to the things which you suffer, such that when the Lord is speaking, you enter into alignment to deliver it the way He's saying it. You see, you can't help the Lord. And that's why you must not exaggerate the words He has given to you. You cannot exaggerate visions. When you exaggerate visions, you give rooms for demons to come in. Anytime the word of the Lord is being dispensed and the minister of the word is entering into the realm of exaggeration, and that's the realm of lies. That's the realm where the devil dwells. He will enter into that realm, fault the vision, such that all that the Lord will have produced will be corrupted. So it is when we are talking about agendas being bettered, we are not talking about some sort of men who are just having zeal. Zeal without accuracy will ruin the body of Christ. It will produce certain things that demons will use that avenue. You see, to corrupt things in the body of Christ. Every move that stopped because there was a loophole. Most of the problem we have experienced in the body of Christ was a problem of communication. God told Adam, "Don't eat of this tree." When the devil came, Eve said, God said, don't touch. Between God, Adam, and Eve, communication had been faulted. And the devil knows this. such that in the body of Christ, between God, the people, between God and man, there is no communication gap. But between the minister and the people, if the communication is overstretched, it is no longer true. It is error. Error has 99.9% of truth. But you see, that 0.1% stretching is enough virus for the enemy to penetrate the whole thing. And that's why when Uzzah tried to help the Ark of Covenant, he was struck dead. The Lord is too big to be helped. You can't help him. You think jumping out on time helps the Lord? You can't help him. The worst that will happen is that you lose yourself out on time. The Lord can't be helped. Does somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Very important. Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Now, look at the effect. I'm not going to go into the dimensions of the Spirit of the Lord and all those things. We are looking at how God prepares his men. But look at the first thing here. It shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Then he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Meaning that understanding judgment for a minister, for a man that God is about to release, is a very crucial matter with God. Judging accurately. When I'm talking about judging here, we are not talking about judging in terms of judging people after the order of Luke chapter number 7 from verse 1, that judge not that you may not be judged. We are talking about judging in terms of balancing the degree of truth that exists in a thing. Do you get what I'm saying here? It is a very serious matter with God. We are talking about weighing balance of issues to see how much of Christ they contained. Judging it, for example, when one prophesies, another stands to judge. Judgment there is not about criticizing the prophecy. Judgment there is putting it on the balance of the word. To what extent is it consistent with the Spirit of Christ? For he that prophesies to the church must prophesy for edification, for comfort, and for strengthening. So you cannot bring prophecy that brings fear to the midst of the children of God and make us to think that that prophecy comes from the Lord. We judge it in the light of Scripture. Does it look like Christ? Does it contain the Spirit of Christ? Is it here for edification? Is it here for comfort? Is it here for strengthening? Prophecy that comes for strengthening are those that show the children of God the extent that they are in Christ. Shows them their reality. The one that comes for edification shows us correction. Correction edifies. So we stand to judge because different things have been perverted. So God training men that will be able to judge accurately is not a small matter. For example, in the book of Psalms chapter number 23, David was saying that the Lord is my what? Shepherd, and I what? Shall not want. Look at that scripture. Meaning that the Lord is my shepherd. That was the same thing God was instructing Peter to do in John chapter number 21, when he says, Peter, lovest thou me more than this thing? And he said, yes, feed my lambs. Now he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Why will I not want? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Meaning that the Lord as a shepherd is consistent in feeding me with balanced diet. And because the Lord feeds me on the consistent basis, I have no need of want. I am not lacking. Do you get what I'm saying here? The Lord is my shepherd. He feeds me. He is my shepherd. The relationship between a shepherd and a sheep is not the relationship of friendship. You see, it is not friendship relationship. The relationship between a shepherd and a sheep is leadership. And that's the dimension of lording. Let me show you a scripture. Psalms chapter number 80. From verse 1. Look at it. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. But look at that word. Give ear, O what? Shepherd of what? Israel. Look up. You see, the reason why raising men that will be able to judge accurately means so much with God is because of the degree to which the devil is seeking to perverse the move of God. There is no move of God that will be bettered in the earth today that the devil is not seeking to perverse. So God wants to bring men. And listen, you know, just like being trained to be a lawyer, You hear what I'm saying now? You will have to first go through the curriculum of the school to understand law. You hear what I'm saying? To understand justice. I don't know about that department. I'm not there. But they have things like patent law. You hear what I'm saying now? Criminology and all those things. You go through all those systems such that you understand the system of justice. But you see, in the earth realm, to show us that we have deviated away from being judged after the order of what Jesus is in the scripture. In the earth realm, we judge based on who comes to consult us first and with money. So even if you have killed, you can still get a lawyer. And though the lawyer knows that he's working against justice. Now, justice is a good judge is not running the race of judging to win. A judge is running the race of judging to establish justice. Such that in the earth realm, you have called a son or a better lawyer to the degree that you have won cases. Judges with God don't have to win cases. You just have to be true. Even when the case is judged, and because a time is coming, you'll have to judge yourself, so you'll not be judged. And in judging yourself, sometimes you have found wanting. In this kind of case, you don't win. You get what I'm saying here? You are not judging to win here. You are judging to establish the righteousness of God. Why? Because righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Is somebody get what I'm saying here? Very important. You know, so God was saying concerning Jesus in the prophecy that he will not judge after the manner of his eyes, after the things he sees with his eyes. Meaning that God wants to raise a set of men whose judicial system is beyond sight. They are the just. The just that does not walk by sight but by faith, such that their judicial system, they are the ones who will not call conspiracy what men call conspiracy. Is somebody get what I'm saying?
Yes,
meaning that look at the way Paul judged. They went to a land to minister. A young lady was singing after them and saying, look at the men to whom God has subdued nations, and was saying different songs of praise. But he had another spirit that could judge the spirit functioning in the girl. And then he looked at her and charged her that the devil that was operating through her will come out from her. Meaning that a carnal man cannot survive when the going gets tough. Because you will need to discern. Listen, in this altitude, you are not discerning between truth and lies. Strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. You see, it is easier to discern between good and bad, but the most dangerous one is good and evil, because evil is just a slight deviation from God. When the devil came to tell Eve that the day you eat these things, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The day they eat these things, they will know good and evil. That was correct. They will be like God. No, sir. They were already God. Is somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
They will know good and evil. Yes. In fact, God does not want them to know good and evil. He wanted them to know good.
Yes,
let me describe what the Garden of Eden was. The Garden of Eden was a shield in the earth realm. And that's why it was called Eden. It was an open portal between the heavens and the earth. There was a reason why it was like that. God was shielding them from something. When man fell, seven pillars fell with men. One of the most important pillars that fell with men was the pillar of justice. Such that man could not judge things adequately the way God should judge things. Immediately after the fall, man was naked, and his judgment told him that he should use leaves to cover his nakedness. Two questions God asked men after the fall. Where are you? The next question was the question he asked Cain. Where is your brother? And the both answers that were in rudeness. And Adam says that, you know, Cain said that, have you made me my brother's keeper? Even when yet he had killed his brother. The pillar of justice fell so quick. Such that man was now all about thinking for himself. You see, greed as a system in the earth realm is a product of the pillar of justice that fell. Because once greed is locking the man's heart, you will kill another man or destroy another man to get your needs met. Once greed is functioning, it doesn't matter who is offended. All that matters is that you win. In God's equation, winning is not winning. Sometimes you have to lose to win. Just like God lost a war over Stephen to win Paul.
Yes,
they were busy stoning Stephen, and God took a dimension upon that young man and placed it on Paul, and Paul could not recover again all his life. Somebody gets what I'm saying here. So God is trying, is making effort to produce what men that will judge not according to sight. Men will be able to judge adequately. You know, look up Psalms 119 from verse 99. He said, I know better than my teachers because your commandment is my meditation. Verse 100 says what? I know better than the ancients because I meditate in what? Your precept. That God will produce men that will understand his justice system is something that we cannot do without. Because as you go higher in God, ministry is not about doing good alone. After the order of Acts of Apostles, chapter number 10, verse 38, saying that how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, we went about doing good. You know what I'm saying now? But you will discover that the good that Jesus did, he described it earlier, that my Father walketh it out while I walk, and I do what I see my Father do. You may think ministry is doing things according to power that works in you. No, sir. Ministry is doing what God wants done. Meaning that there is no such thing as you just waking up one morning and say, I'm going to the market square to heal all the mad people there. As God shown you, is that part of his agenda? Because there might be an enemy of the church that was suspended in madness. It is not your business to go there. To operate under power without instruction is to kick against the agenda of the kingdom. We are legislating from a realm whose intelligence is beyond sight. So it is important that the judges, this is the first training of a minister. God will have to train you as a judge. The judges must be speaking and legislating also from that realm that is beyond sight. Is somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes,
from that realm that is what? Beyond what? Sight. The judges must be speaking from a realm that is beyond their own understanding. When Adam ate the apple, balance starts shifting. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 82, from verse 5 downwards, there was a word there to, you know, David speaking. He said, know ye not that you are gods and all of you are sons of the Most High? It went on in verse 6 to say that they know not, neither will they understand. The foundations of the earth are out of course. Therefore, they will die like men and fall like one of the princes. What were the foundations? It was the foundations that God established to keep men safe. The foundation that God what established to do what? To keep men safe. So when man fell, look at it. Justice fell, look up, first, before many other things. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, from verse 1. That was the passage I was trying to explain tonight. Alright? In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, meaning that the earth is as old as the heaven.
Yes, sir.
But the heaven did not go out of form. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God came and said, let there be light. Now, if you are a good student of God's word, the word let there be light is also meaning that let the earth begin to rotate again. Now, look up. Let me show you this scripture. Turn your Bibles there. Genesis chapter number 1 from verse 1. If we do not take time to adequately study God's word, we will fulfill the scripture written in Mark 4 verse 12 that some those who are without, in seeing they will see, they will not understand, and they will not perceive, in hearing they will hear, they will not understand. Now look at it. In the beginning, God created the heavens, plural. The what?
Heavens.
The what?
Heavens.
Now we will not believe that it was heavens until Paul was saying that I know of a man, whether in the spirit or in the flesh, that was taken to the third heaven. We're never given any passage in scripture that spoke beyond the third heaven. Do you get what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
When man fell, he fell from Ikeda. He fell from Ikeda, and that's where we are going. Now, God created the heavens and what?
Yeah.
He created the what?
Heavens and the earth.
And what was without form?
The earth was without form.
And
void.
Why? The earth was without form and void. Now, the earth was without form, meaning that there was a catastrophic activity.
Yes, sir.
Now, the earth was void, meaning that the earth was once filled. Is somebody getting that?
Yes, sir.
The earth was without form. That was destruction. The earth was void. Something was missing. Hello? The earth was without form. Destruction. The earth was void. Something was missing. Meaning that the same time that the earth was without form, there was a form of emptiness. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Now, tonight, what we are going to do is that we will link scriptures with scriptures,
yes,
such that we will journey into the past to understand those prophets that God took back to the beginning.
Yes, sir.
There is the beginning and there is the beginning of beginnings.
Yes, sir.
You see, there is what? The what? Beginning and there is what? The beginning of what? Beginning. Only Adam could date 6,000 plus till now, not the earth. The earth is over 1 billion years.
Yes, sir.
Is somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
The earth is older than man. Because the house, you create the house first before you create man.
Yes, sir.
What God did in Genesis 1 was to recreate.
Yeah.
Genesis 1 was not the account of creation, it was the account of recreation.
Yes, sir.
Genesis 1:26 was the account of the recreation of man. And this is why you will see that everything Jesus came to do, there was a word re as the suffix, restoration. Redemption. You get what I'm saying now? These were attempts to salvage all that the devil had destroyed. We are inhabiting a earth realm that was once habited before. Adam was not the first one to roam this earth. And this is what we want to establish tonight. Now, this foundation is important. So you can understand where this contention started from. And where the earth is picking up from. Where we are at the moment. If we are going to be soldiers of the last time, we must understand this battle plan. Is somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Now, look at it. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Excuse me, when did God create these waters? Are you getting that now?
Yes, sir.
Because we were not told this water was created.
Yes, sir.
So when did God create this water? Now, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the deep. Okay, darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Meaning that there was a conversion from deep to waters.
Yes, sir.
Look at, the languages are changing. There is an instant conversion. Darkness was over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good and separated the light from darkness. God called the light day and called the darkness night. Now, look up. Darkness that was over the face of the deep is not atmospheric. It's a personality. Somebody gets what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Darkness that was over the face of the deep is not what? Atmospheric. It is what? A personality. That was the it was a personality of one standing as one responsible for the wastage that the earth is now experiencing. Is somebody understanding that? At least you got this to this point. Very good. Now let's look at a couple of scriptures. I placed down a couple of scriptures here. Now I noted that in Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form. Between God making the heavens and the earth was when the devil fell. If somebody gets what I'm saying here,
yes,
between the time that God made the heavens and the earth, before the earth became, the earth becoming void and formless was a function of the fall of the devil. Now, if you come with a submission, somebody get what I'm saying there?
Yes,
if you come with a submission that the heavens and the earth when God formed the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, was not when the devil fell. Then out of where did God banish the devil? The Bible says that he was casted out from the holy mountain of God as profane. The holy mountain of God is another word to use to describe the third heavens. You get what I'm saying now? He was banished from there. Can he be banished from heaven if heaven has not been created? And heavens and the earth was what? Created. And when the devil fell, he was banished from where? Heaven. To where? The earth. Because Jesus said, I behold Satan fall like a lightning. Is somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes,
he said that, I beheld Satan fell like a lightning. Now, let's look at the book of, we have clue. And one of the men that had clue was the man Job. You see, the devil made mistake. The devil made mistake. He thought he was afflicting Job. But what he did was that he brought Job to the point of restlessness in the flesh, where Job was now beginning to take revelations of what happened before Adam. The affliction that the devil thought he was giving Job, he actually gave Job something very powerful that empowered Job to enter into the realm of mysteries. It is not a small realm. Look at Job chapter number 9 from verse 1 to 10. Job 9 from verse 1 to 10. Job chapter number 9 from verse 1 to 10. Job is before Psalms. Job 9 from verse 1 to 10. Now let's look at this amazing scripture. And Job answered and said, I know. It is so of a truth. But how should a man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountain and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, and shaketh them out of our place, and the pillars therefore tremble, and commanded the sun that it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which spreadeth out of the heavens, and tread upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, the wonders without number. Look up. Job was giving us a revelation of a mystery. That there was a time that God overturned the mountains in his anger. That there was a time that God walked upon the waves of the sea and commanded the stars not to shine again, told the sun not to bring forth any shining. Now, this time was not between Adam and Job. Because the only mass destruction that has existed was one, Sodom and, okay, first was the flood. When man fell, and the flood, God did not command that stars should not shine. As a matter of fact, when the flood came, it was that the deep were loosed from within. Somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes,
but this time, Job was talking about a time that God removed mountains. He was talking about a time that God walked upon the waves of the sea. This was what happened. When the devil fell, he fell, Bible says that he fell with one third of the stars of heaven. The word stars there talks about the angels. Because in Job 38 from verse 3, when God was asking Job a question, he said, where were you when the morning stars come together and sing for joy? The morning stars talks about the sons of God. Those are angels. You get what I'm saying now? So when the devil fell, he fell as a tool of deception. The Bible says that he still dragged one third of the stars of heaven. That was a statement. Imagine you have a dog. Sometimes your dog have misbehaved, but the tail is trying to wag and tell you something else. The tail there was talking about an instrument of deception with which he made one over three of the angels of God to fall. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Is it getting clearer?
Yes, sir.
Very important. Now we are trying to investigate something, and this investigation is very important for the body of Christ. Now, beyond the scripture, I want to show you another scripture. Look at the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14, from verse 13 to 14. Isaiah 14, from verse 13 to 14. Isaiah 14, from verse 13 to 14. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Good. Now, look at this. Let's look from verse verse 10. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we, and art become like unto us. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and thy noise, the noise of thy boils. The worm spreads under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground with weakened nations? Hello. How art thou cut down to the ground? Meaning that when the devil was sent from heaven, he touched the ground, not waters. And the Bible also said he weakened nations. Meaning that nations existed. Somebody get what I'm saying here? His fall came to bring perversion into the existence of everything that God created. Because the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon them. It was the nations that were emptied as a result of the fall that brought that voidness. Alright? The fact that when he fell, all the people, I don't want to just use the word people, alright, for the sake of staying consistent with doctrine. Somebody get what I'm saying here? But we are going somewhere. Alright? Look at the book of Revelation 12, verse 4. Revelation 12, 4. Revelation chapter number 12, verse 4. Now look at it. And he still drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was to deliver, for to deliver a child as soon as she was born. Look up. He still drew forth one over three of the stars of heaven, and he stood before the woman to devour a child. You get what I'm saying? As soon as the child was born. Now, this is a very serious mystery. He was waiting for that one that will be like God. And as soon as the one that will be like God comes to devour the one that will be like God. Are you getting what I'm saying here? He stood. This was during the fall. And then he stood. And this is why Adam, believers now, Adam is not your prototype, because Adam was an hijacked project. He was work in progress, but the devil hijacked the work in between. Jesus is the full definition of what man was created to be. Until Jesus came, no real man had walked the face of the earth. Jesus is the first person to show us the prototype of the kind of man that God wants to invade the earth. And this was why he walked in dominion over the sea. He told the sea, stop. He walked in dominion over the head. He rose up out of the grave in victory. He walked in dominion over the fowls of the air. He went into heavens without any escalator. You got what I'm saying now? Jesus came as the perfect definition of what man is. And this was why he was called Son of Man. He defined man. And he said, greater things than this you shall do. Is somebody get what we are saying here? Good. Now, this was the mistake of Adam. Adam, by habitation, was occupying the earth. But by legislation, he was occupying the second heaven. By habitation, he was occupying where? The earth. But by legislation, he was occupying the second heaven. Now, this was why a word came in the book of Hebrews chapter number 1. Before we go to the issue of the second heaven. It was a question in Hebrews 1. And that question is a question that we are not to model up if we are going to be sound students of the word of God. Now, look at this. Hebrews chapter number 1. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Now, from verse 5. To which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today have I begotten you? Sit, or again, I will be his father, and you will be my son. Alright, look at that scripture. But there is a part where I want to show you in this Hebrews chapter number 1. Thank you, verse 4. So he became as much superior to the angels, and as the name he has inherited superior to theirs. Look up. Now, Let's start from verse 1 so you'll understand. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He had appointed heirs of all things, and through whom He has made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful words after He had provided purification of sins. He sat at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. This is the third heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels and as the name He has inherited superior to theirs. Is somebody seeing that?
Yes,
Jesus was made superior to who? The angels. Now look at verse 6. And again God brings His firstborn into the world and says, let all angels worship Him. For speaking of the angel, He says, He makes His angel spirit and His ministers flame of fire. But about Son, He says, your throne will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, the Lord your God hath set you above your companions, and by anointing you with the oil of gladness. And look at verse 10. He also said, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens at the work of your hands. They will replenish, but you will remain. They will perish, but you will remain. And they will all wear out like garments. You will roll them up like robe, like garments they will be changed, but you remain the same. Your years will never end. To which of the angels did He ever say, sit at my right hand side until I make your enemies your footstool? And not all His angels, spirit, ministering spirit, to those who will inherit salvation? Now, this was what Jesus came to do. When Jesus came and died for men, man fell from the second heavens. I'm going there now. It fell from there. But when Jesus came and died for men, God said concerning man that He is seated in Christ far above all principalities. Meaning that if the devil will shift man from the second heavens, God brought man to Christ, seated in God in the third heavens. Is somebody getting that now?
Yes, sir.
Good. The only man that is below this cedar is a man that is not in Christ. And this was why God said to the serpent when men fell, that it will on its belly will he crawl, and it will eat the dust of the earth. And He looked at Adam, the fallen man, and said, from the ground you were made, and from the dust you were made, and to the dust you will return. Meaning that as long as you remain in the fallen state, you are the dust, and the serpent will eat the dust. The food of the devil is the fallen Christian. Is somebody get what we are teaching here tonight? Very important. Now look at where man fell from. Ephesians 6 verse 12. Ephesians 6 12. The book of Ephesians chapter number 6 verse 12. Very important. Ephesians 6 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers, in dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Against spiritual wickedness in what realm? The heavenly realms. Let me show you another scripture. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10 4. Now we have to compare scriptures with scriptures so we can enter into understanding. Does somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Very important. For the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments, every pretension that set itself against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we are ready to punish every act of obedience once your obedience is full. You are judging by appearances. If anyone is confident that they belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. Now look up. In Ephesians 6:12, it was talking about we fighting against forces that are called the rulers of the kingdom of darkness in the heavenly realms. In what realm?
The heavenly realm.
Now the heavenly realm that he was talking about here talks about the second heaven. And this is where the rulers of the kingdom of darkness legislate from. Is somebody get what I'm saying here? That's what the second. I want to show you something. Be seated. In the book of Luke, chapter number 4, the devil was speaking about this in a coded language. In the book of Luke, chapter number 4. Now look at it, verse 5. And the devil taking him up into an high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment and time. Now the kingdom of this world there doesn't talk about the earth. It talks about both this world, the second heaven, and the likes. Now, in the moment of time, and the devil said to him, all this power I will give you, even the glory of them that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now, he said all the glory of them that was what? Delivered unto him. The fall of man delivered that occupation to the devil. Is somebody understanding this?
Yes,
the fall of man delivers what? This what? Occupation to the devil. This is why when the devil is going to be punished, he will be casted down from this same realm. Look at the book of Revelation 12 from verse 9 to 10. 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 Now look at it. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Are you seeing that? And the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast out, which accused them before our God day and night. Now the devil was not accusing before the fall of Adam, but yet here the Bible was saying that he is cast down into the earth, meaning that the devil as of now geographically is not in the earth. Geographically is in the second heavens. And this was why in the book of Job, chapter number 1. Now you will be imagining in your heart that how is it that it is so belittling that the devil occupying the second heaven with rulers of darkness, and then God lives in the third heaven. God doesn't live in heaven. God does not live in heaven. We don't know where he lives, but we got a clue that he doesn't live in heaven. Why? When Jesus rose from the grave, there was an account given to us in Ephesians 4. Let's check it. From verse 9. What does he descended mean, except he also descended to the lower, the earthly regions? I read from NIV. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Meaning that when Jesus Christ rose from the grave and was going to present himself to the Father, he rose beyond the third heavens. The Father doesn't live in the third heavens. He legislates there. The highest any man had ever seen is where he legislates. But you see, God is a compendium of mysteries. Bible says that his ways are past finding out. Is somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes,
the ways of the Lord are what? They are past finding out. Now, so meaning that God legislates in the third heavens, the devil legislates in the second heaven. Man that is not in Christ has now been relegated to legislate at the lowest region. Now, look at this. We need to really see something very important. There is a reason why we must understand, you know, the foundation of this and how this boils down to understanding what God will do with a man that God wants to prepare for his use. Is somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Very important. Now, when the devil fell, he fell down, laid everything waste. All the people that were on ground laid waste of them. This was where we had the origin of demons. Alright, demons are not fallen angels. When the Bible was talking about the account of a time came that the sons of God came to commit, have that which is unseemly with daughters of men, and they give rise to giants. Those sons of God were disciplined. They were reserved in a chain. They are not demons. But because before them, something entered into Cain that made him kill his brother. That's demonic, sir. True or not true? This is why you must understand what God did to Adam. The garden was the presence of the Lord. What was securing them in God's presence was the ability to keep God's instruction. The garden was a big giant shield, shielding man from the corruption that were around them. When man fell, he exposed himself to corruption. Look up. Because the devil himself had been living in the Garden of Eden before Adam came. Let me show you from scripture. Ezekiel 28. Look up from verse 15 to 17. So when the devil came to the garden, he was not meandering his way there. He understood. Ezekiel 28. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now look at it. That was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found on thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise you have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because thou hast corrupted your wisdom by the reason of your brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay you before kings, that they may behold you. Meaning that when the devil fell, they were witnesses. Is somebody seeing that? Good. Look at verse 18. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore, will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee? It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of them that behold you. There were people beholding him. Look at verse 19. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. You will be a terror, and never shall you be anymore. Again, the word of Lord came unto me, saying, and then God cries to him to prophesy and say unto him different things. But when the devil fell, you know what I'm saying? There were witnesses, there were people. His fall was mockery to him, because all those who had once considered him bright now began to see him as a very shameful one. But he went on to lay waste of those things. Now look at the book of Luke chapter. Let's combine Luke 10:18, then we'll look at Job 38 verse 4. Luke 10:18. Luke 10:18. Now look at it. If you are there, say amen. And he said unto them, I behold Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And they shall by no means what hurt you. Now this statement was a statement of Jesus to the disciples, saying that I see, I beheld. He didn't say I behold. He said I beheld. I mean that I witnessed, I was there when Satan fell like lightning. Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Yes,
I was there. This was the word of Jesus. I beheld Satan. I saw him fall. I saw him drop down to the head and fall like lightning. But I give you power. Power to do what? To step upon snakes and scorpions. Here he was talking about different forms that demons take. Now look at this. The reason why, I'm still going to go to the issue of fallen angels before I go to the issue of demons. The reason why demons possess people is because they need a body. They were once having one. They what? They were once what? Having one. So they need a body. And that's why they occupy people. That's why demons possess people. That's why they seek to possess people's minds and control their affairs. The demons know what it means to have a body. Fallen angels don't possess people. Turn your Bibles. Let me show you something from the book of 1 Peter. Second Peter, sorry, 2 from verse 4 to 5. Second Peter 2 from verse 4 to 5. Second Peter chapter number 2 from verse 4 to 5. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world. Is somebody seeing this?
Yes, sir.
And spared not the old world, but saved Jonah. Look at it. There's a difference between Jonah and the old world. And saved Jonah, the eighth person, and the preacher of righteousness, bringing flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the city of Jonah. Now, look at this. In the time of Jonah, God spared the world. But the old world before Jonah, God didn't spare them. They were all turned aside. You see, this same earth, you would think the devil is fighting aimlessly. He's not fighting aimlessly. He understands what it means to crumble the entire thing that God created before. So that he's fighting tooth and nail. He's fighting from experience. That the first world, I came there and I scattered everything. He believes that this one is not different. And this is why God made his only son to die before the foundations of the world. Such that even when the devil made man fall, there is a greater blood to set the system of justice back in place. Behold the Lamb of God that was slain from the what? Foundations of the world. So God foresaw that if the devil could do this, he could do greater, or aim to do greater. So Jesus was killed in the spirit realm. The arrangement, the agreement that he will go was not when the problem came. It was not when man fell that God started looking for who will save man. Remember, God doesn't dwell in time. So the death of Jesus was much present for him as much as Adam was falling. While Adam was falling, God was also saying that I had died. Such that what he did when Adam fell was that he killed an animal as a replica of what has been done. Everything written in the scripture after then were journey to show us a prototype of what God had already done. So that when man fell, God killed a lamb, indicating that he, as the Lamb of God, was slain. Jesus being the Lamb of God was not meaning that he's a lamb, meaning that he's the one that the Lord, God himself, lords over. It's the typology, is what it means to be typical, or what it means to carry the Spirit of the Lord. So, we must understand that the devil had once come to scatter the system of justice of the earth realm. He made demons out of it. He made demons out of the existence that was in that realm. So what the devil is now trying to do now is to penetrate the earth realm. The reason for all the things I've explained is because if we do not understand where we are coming from, we cannot know where we are going.
Yes, sir. So
his invasion in this current world is to come, invade it, and also make known entities out of people that should represent the image of God. Do you think it is a normal thing that a man will carry a knife and slaughter a newborn baby because he wants to do a ritual? Men now begins to function 100% like demons. Is somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
So God is keenly in the business of not just establishing men, but establishing men that will understand the importance of the pillar of righteousness and justice. These were the pillars that were holding the heavens, such that when the earth was far from and void, the reason why the heavens was not shaken up was because there was a system of justice. Men will come to bring back this earth from the fallen state, and men will understand righteousness and justice. Because if we have more men that will understand justice, you see, the devil manipulates laws. What he does is this. He knows that when the blood of the innocent is spilled, that blood will cry. So he wants to spill more. He knows that when you cut corners and break the hedge and live in sin, serpents will strike. He wants to break more hedge. So what the devil is doing is this. He's operating as a legal practitioner, penetrating the legislative system in the realm, in the earth realm. And this is why you should not be ignorant of the device of the enemy, meaning that you are standing in a courtroom. Don't be ignorant of what the one who is speaking against you is saying. Don't be ignorant. Believers, you are standing in a courtroom. So you cannot afford to be ignorant of what the one who is speaking against you is what saying. Understand that everything the devil brings people into, it is a legislative thing. He understands the implication by law. By law, if you kill, you die. Mean that the president of the nation does not have to kill you. The principles have been on ground. So what the devil seeks to do is what he did then. Such that if you misbehave, he knows that God has set certain principles in place. The level of misbehavior is bringing to you is based on the understanding of the consequence of that misbehavior. So he acts from the consequence. He knows that if you fornicate, you are sinning against your own body. You get what I'm saying now? And then he knows that you are one body with the person. So what he does is this. He first joins himself with the person, then brings you one body with the person, so you can be one body with him. It is a legal understanding, such that he's bringing you into sin, not from the perspective of distraction, but from the understanding of the consequence of what you are doing, such that he will not be the one to fight you, but what God has set in place. Just like if a man should jump from a high mountain, it will crash. Everything that goes up will come down by a law called the law of gravity. So you cannot jump from the mountain and say, God save me. So he understands that your cry for God save me will only come because you don't understand the system. It will fight you with repercussion. That's what the devil fights men with. He's fighting men with what? Repercussion. You get what I'm saying now? So what believers do is this. They break principles and then they want God to rescue them in between. But God lifts his word above his name. So what God wants to do is this. He wants to raise a new breed of men that will understand the legal system. This is what it means to understand the foundation of justice. This is a message you will have to listen to 10 times before you can understand.
Yes, sir.
You get what I'm saying now? So what God is doing is this. He wants to raise men who will not judge according to what they see, including judging themselves. And this was the point Jesus was operating from, that we said, for we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, seeing he was in all points tempted like we are, but he judged it to be so. Knowing fully well that if Jesus should taste sin, man is eternally doomed.
Yes, sir.
If Jesus had tasted sin one, Adam did eat two apples, it was one. All Jesus needed to do was to fall into one temptation in his lifetime. Just one temptation is enough to severe. Jesus came as the final plan of God for humanity. So he judged situations correctly. He faced ministry and avoided distractions. He judged situations correctly. You will not know the degree to which your assignment is important until you understand the system of God's justice. Until you come to understand what the system of what God's justice. So the Spirit of God came upon Jesus, and he will speak in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by sight. So God is raising men who will not just be Christians but judge in the earth realm. Men who first judge themselves so they will not be judged. Men who will understand. You see, when situations are happening now, to understand justice goes beyond doing things for men to see. Mean that in the moment you are in the dark places alone, you understand that consequence is consequence, irrespective of where you do it.
Yes, sir.
If you jump from the mountain to the ground in Nigeria, you will crash. If you jump from a mountain to the ground in America, you will still crash.
Yes,
understanding justice tells us that consequence is general over the world. Consequence is what? Men who do not understand justice will do things only for men to see, but yet they will still fail. The beauty of the life of Jesus was that he didn't fall, both when men were seen and when men were not seen. That is what it means to be a true judge. The heavens did not crash because there is a system there of justice and righteousness. We will be able to rescue people and restore them to the degree that we operate in understanding of these things. And that is when we enter into alignment. God begins to raise more people who understand the importance of justice. The importance of what? Justice. The importance of what? Justice. The importance of what? All the 10 commandments that God gave the Israelites was an attempt to reestablish justice. Don't do this, don't do it. It was an attempt. Because man claimed to be in Christ, but yet is living in sin. And that sin is destroying the earth the more.
Yes, sir.
So God, and that's why in the book of Galatians 5:1, Paul was warning that now that you have been made free, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Is somebody get what I'm saying here?
Yes,
very important. So we must understand that there is a principle that governs this realm. It's called the principle of justice. The earth will stand in righteousness to the degree that we understand. We are coming into alignment. We must emulate God.
Yes, sir.
This is what it means to be godly. We emulate God such that we speak like Joseph, that whether my master is here or not, how can I do these things and sin against God? If a minister of God can come to a point where he begins to judge correctly, the first person he will judge is himself. And because he is able to judge himself correctly, that strength will empower him. You got what I'm saying now? It will enable him to enter into a point where, having judged himself, you got what I'm saying now? He will now be able to enter into the mode of alignment, to bring authentic alignment, exact agenda that God wants to the earth. Just like Jesus is the exact representation of God because of understanding of justice. Man will come, you see, we will now also be exact representations of God. But Jesus knew these things. You get what I'm saying now? He will judge and his judgment will be truth. Is somebody understand what I'm saying here?
Yes,
if not, we will do ministry, we will work for God, but we'll be cutting corners. But whether you do it publicly or secretly, repercussion is repercussion. Very important. Bow down your heads and talk to God. I'm going to continue on this same series, and I trust God that it will bless you.